What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. So, guys, I decided to come back on here just because a lot of you guys wanted me to talk about the New York Giants' good problem of two good tight ends. And it's very, I'm not that surprised where, you know, we want to talk about the new additions to this offense, especially now that we're like, 2 months away from the NFL season. You know, I'm very excited myself to see what Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger, what these two guys are going to bring to the table. And really, when you look at Daniel Jones dominated when he throws to tight ends, you know, and bringing in a big force like Darren Waller, the guy runs a 4.4 as a tight end. Like that's pretty amazing. You know, this guy, Darren Waller, he's clearly one of the biggest pieces of this offense. And I feel like having him to this offense, when you have guys like Jalin Hyatt, when you have guys like bringing back Darius Slayton, finding a way to get Sterling Shepard back. I'm just excited. You know, I feel like Darren Waller is the big reason why this offense succeeds, because Darren Waller, I said it before and I'll say it again, he separates, you know, he's gonna create those one-on-one matchups to make life easier for guys like Darius Slayton, you know, Wan'Dale Robinson, Jalin Hyatt. Guys, so they can make those plays, or Daniel Jones does what he did last season. If no one's open, he's just gonna take off and run. You know, so I'm very excited to see how this tandem of Daniel Bellinger and Darren Waller looks. A lot of you guys did want me to talk about on how will the Giants exploit Bellinger's potential in 2023. This guy a year ago, Daniel Bellinger a year ago was a relatively under, you know, he was this guy, he was a, I would say he was a under-heralded fourth round draft pick of the Giants in a deep tight end draft class. You know, Daniel Bellinger was, you know, he was the sixth tight end selected. Once the season began, though, you know, this guy grew into a significant part of the Giants offense, despite a horrific eye injury he suffered against the Jaguars that caused him to miss 5 games. Daniel Bellinger finished 5th in receptions among his rookie counterparts, with an outstanding 90.9% completion rate. Big things, you know, were anticipated from him in 2023. Then the Giants traded for Darren Waller, and we all know, like, when this guy's healthy, Darren Waller's a top 5 tight end, no question. Not to mention beefing up their wide receiver corps with Paris Campbell, Jalin Hyatt, and others. I feel like add them to Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, Wan'Dale Robinson, and Sterling Shepard. I mean, that's a lot of mouths for Daniel Jones to feed. You know, with only one ball to spread around, it's natural to find either Daniel Bellinger's role in 2023 will change to involve more blocking duties and fewer pass catching opportunities. You know, obviously Daniel Bellinger, he was a capable blocker as a rookie, and his physical appearance at OTAs did nothing to create a different impression. Some tight end has to block for the Giants, and Darren Waller is not that guy. Now, if you're gonna ask me, is Daniel Bellinger going to mostly be the blocking tight end now? Travis Kelce and George Kittle don't seem to think he should be. You know, based on his work at their offseason program, which is tight end university, the past 2 years. Here's Kelce mentioning Bellinger. This is what Travis Kelce said. He said, I don't know if there are, he said, I don't know if there are any that remind me of myself, but there are a few guys I'm excited about. Kyle Pitts being one of them. Jake Ferguson down in Dallas and Daniel Bellinger over in New York. I'm excited to see how these guys manifest over the next few years, and we'll see where they can take their game. Now, that was Travis Kelce. Daniel Bellinger would seem to be a wasted talent as primarily a blocking tight end. You know, look at injuries. We all know injuries are inevitable in the NFL, as the Giants know all too well from 2022. And so opportunities arise where there had been none before. Given Darren Waller's recent injury history, that can't be ruled out. I mean, let's imagine that for a change, the Giants have good injury luck in 2023. You know, is it possible for a team with a premier tight end and a fairly deep group of wide receivers to also adequately exploit Daniel Bellinger's value as a receiver? What precedents are there, in recent NFL history for teams with two tight ends who are important parts of the passing game? I mean, let's look at Darren Waller when he was with the Las Vegas Raiders. The obvious first question is how Oakland, Oakland or Las Vegas, the Raiders offense operated with Darren Waller. You know, Darren Waller had two healthy seasons as a Raider that showcased him as an elite pass-catching tight end from 2019 to 2020. During those seasons, he was the guy for the Raiders. The other tight end on the roster were purely an afterthought. I mean, look at the 2019 and 2020 tight end stats for those teams. Darren Waller, he was targeted 115 times with 90 receptions for 1,146 yards, 12 and 3 touchdowns. Darren Waller had the most. He had the most targets, the most receptions, and the most yards out of any tight end, out of the tight end group in Las Vegas. You know, look at, with Darren Waller being targeted 8 to 9 times a game, the other tight ends were lucky to see one ball come their way in any week. During those seasons, the Raiders also had some good to be, like the Raiders also had some good to very good wide receivers, perhaps not that much different from the 2023 Giants receiving corps. Hunter Renfrow, Zay Jones, Tyrell Williams, Nelson Aguilar, and Henry Ruggs III. Getting balls to them as well as Darren Waller left little for the other tight ends. So I feel like the question we should be asking ourselves, how can Daniel Bellinger be more than an afterthought as a receiving option this year? Let's look at the examples of teams that shared the ball between two tight ends. Let's set the bar at 50 targets over the regular season, about 3 per game. As the threshold for a tight end who is a significant contributor as a receiver. In 2022, there was only one NFL team with two tight ends that cleared that threshold. It was the Baltimore Ravens. In one sense, the Ravens are a good analog for the Giants. And here's why. They have one of the best tight ends in the league in Mark Andrews. And their number two tight end was rookie Isaiah Likely, who managed to see 56 balls despite the 110 that targeted Mark Andrews. That's a number similar to what Darren Waller saw in his best seasons. The bad news, though, is that it only happened because the Ravens' wide receiving corps last season was crippled by injuries, most notably to Rashad Bateman, probably their number one receiver, who only played in 6 games. If we go back to 2021, we find another example in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Future Hall of Famer Rob Gronkowski in his final season had 86 targets, leaving 50 for number two tight end Cameron Brate. Unfortunately, Gronk's number was that low, and Cameron Brate's that high only because he missed five games. The Giants hope this is not a good analogy for Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger. Also in 2021, the Cleveland Browns targeted tight ends Austin Hooper and David Njoku 58 and 53 times respectively. That's because neither tight end was an elite receiving option, not what we want to see the Giants emulate. In 2020, we have several more examples of this sort, The Tennessee Titans with Jonnu Smith, who had 63 receptions, and Anthony Firkser, who only got 50. The Los Angeles Rams with Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee, each being targeted 59 times. There was one team in 2020 that shared the ball between two premier tight ends. However, the Philadelphia Eagles with Zach Ertz getting 68 targets and Dallas Goedert getting 64. That team was in turmoil, and Zach Ertz was on the back nine. Of his career by then, though he's done pretty well since joining the Arizona Cardinals. But if you look at the previous season when Zach Ertz was still in his prime and Dallas Goedert was a second-year player, we see numbers that would make Giants fans pretty happy in 2023 if Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger were the names next to them. But here's what I would say. Unfortunately, the gaudy tight end numbers hide the fact that the Eagles' prime options at wide receiver that year were Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey. The Giants are expecting a lot more from their wide receivers this season. I mean, you have to go back to the 2016 season, this is when they were called the Washington Redskins. Go back to the 2016 season. The Washington Redskins, they had two good tight ends, each getting a substantial amount of work in the passing game. Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis. While simultaneously having a good wide receiver group, Pierre Garçon, DeSean Jackson, and Jameson Crowder. That team was third in the NFL with 4,948 passing yards. Kirk Cousins was, he was the starting quarterback on that team, which went 8-7-1. The Giants were hoping for better than that, and in any case, the wide receivers were the primary targets on that team, not the tight ends. Let's go even further back. We find the 2011 New England Patriots, who had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, God rest his soul, at their peak productivity. Tom Brady was the one delivering those passes, which Brady threw for 5,235 yards that season. But what a group! That team made the Super Bowl, of course, but thanks in part to Chase Blackburn intercepting a pass intended for Gronkowski, they didn't quite get there. And in case you were wondering, in 2022, Travis Kelce was targeted 150 times, while number two tight end Noah Fant saw 34 balls. George Kittle had only 80 targets for the 49ers. George Kittle is clearly one of the best blocking tight ends in the NFL as well, but no other tight end was thrown to even 10 times. The bottom line is this. It's common to have two productive, frequently targeted tight ends on a team that also has good wide receivers, but it's possible. Let's look at the personnel groupings. Let's look at the assessment of the 2023 New York Giants tight end room. You know, let's paint a picture of Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger as a formidable 12 personnel package. You know, here's how I would break down of how Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka used various personnel packages in 2022 and how successful they were. Look, in 2022, 12 personnel packages were the Giants' second most frequent grouping, which was 20% of the time, including looks with two wide receivers and one wide receiver. That was a distant second to the 11 personnel grouping that was used, you know, two-thirds of the time. The Giants passed out 1 to 2 to 255% of the time. With Darren Waller on the team, we might expect those 12 groupings to be much more common in 2023. Know that even if a tight end lines up on the boundary and goes deep, as Darren Waller probably will do a lot this season, it is still recorded as 12 personnel if Daniel Bellinger or another tight end is also on the field. The Giants were not all that effective in 12 personnel last season. You know, they only averaged only 0.054 expected points, you know, added per play, you know, which is, you know, which they averaged between the 1 to 2 to 2 and 1 to 2 to 1 groupings. That should improve. I expect that to improve in 2023. Daniel Bellinger proved to be excellent at finding open spaces and zone defenses as a rookie. You know, tight end university must be a masterclass in doing that with Travis Kelce and George Kittle, two players who unfathomably always seem to be wide open, running things. Working in tandem with Darren Waller going deep, opening up the middle for Daniel Bellinger to find seams in his zone. This may be a common sight at MetLife. Now, if you're going to ask me, Justin, do the Giants' 2023 opponents look susceptible to receiving tight ends? Well, look at the Giants will play against many linebacker groups this season that are projected to be weak. The Rams, the Eagles, the Raiders, the Commanders, and the Cardinals. That seems, you know, that seems tailor-made for the Darren Waller, Daniel Bellinger pairing. I mean, it's surprising to see the Eagles near the bottom of any league-wide ranking, and second-year linebacker Nakobe Dean, who I believe will become a good player this season. You've got to have some kind of game plan against that formidable defense, though. And you can do worse than attacking that second level with two good tight ends before the pass rush can get to Daniel Jones. And also, the Giants will also play against the best linebacker duo in the NFL, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, in week 3 in San Francisco. Those two gave Daniel Jones fits in a 2020 thrashing at MetLife. And tight ends Evan Engram and Caden Smith caught only 4 passes. The Giants will hope for better this time around, but the 49ers defense promises to be a tough matchup for the Giants offense. No, and also the Giants are also going to be facing the New Orleans Saints, who have two very good linebackers in DeMario Davis and Pete Warner. All I'm saying is this. Excuse me. Sorry, guys. My throat's very itchy. My throat's very itchy. the most interesting thing about the Giants off, all I'm saying is this. The most interesting thing about the Giants offense in 2022 is how Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka adapted their game plans to the opponent and the personnel available in any week. That was done largely by scheming receivers open in the absence of elite physical traits and talent in the receiving corps. In 2023, they have more innate talent to work with, and opponents will surely game plan to try to neutralize Darren Waller. You know, and that may often leave Daniel Bellinger free to make opposing defenses pay. So that's all I got to say about that. But yeah, guys, that's all I got to say about that. And yeah, let me know how you guys look at it. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm very excited to see on how everything's going to play out. But you know, I said this when Brian Daboll came and became the new head coach. You know, I started to learn some things from Brian Daboll. And the things I was learning about this guy is that Brian Daboll, he's gonna put Daniel Jones in the best way to succeed. He's gonna put Daniel Jones in the most comfortable situations. And that's what he did. You know, he told Daniel Jones, if you don't find anyone open, just take off and run. You know? I just feel like to find a player, in order to make sure that you find a player that can succeed, you got to find the right play caller for that player. And Mike Kafka clearly helped. You know, Mike Kafka and Daniel Jones clearly work together well. Clearly, they work really well together. You know, because Mike Kafka, he knows Daniel Jones' instincts. You know, he knows Daniel Jones' weaknesses and his strengths. You know, and he's going to put Daniel Jones in the best situation possible. You know, so it's going to be very interesting to see how things roll out. But I'm very excited. But I think that's the point. Mike Kafka is going to put Daniel Jones in the right situations. You know, not putting a lot of pressure. That's why you go out and get Darren Waller. You know, to make sure that all the pressure doesn't have to be on Daniel Jones, so he doesn't have to run every single. Just so that he doesn't have to use his legs every single play, because you wanna save your energy. You know, that's why you have Darren Waller, a guy that can, like I said before, a guy that can create separation and create those big mismatches and give Daniel Jones the time to make a play. You know, so it's going to be interesting, but we'll find out. But I hope you guys enjoyed this one. I appreciate the question. It's going to be interesting, though. I'm excited, but we'll find out. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Let me know how you guys feel about my long talk. I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants, or if you guys have any more questions, just let me know down in the Q&A section, and I'll get right back at you guys. But until then, guys, I'm out. Peace.